I'm Leonida Inge. This is Test It from WUNC. A look at what the day's challenges tell us about where we are, what we believe, and who we want to be in North Carolina and the South. Today, fighting for the right to vote. I would say voting is something most white folks in the United States take for granted, especially white men. But for other Americans, namely Black people here in the South, accessing that right has been hard as hell. I call up memories of people who have fought like hell for equal voting rights when I slow around, barely making it to the polls before they close because I didn't vote absentee or early. Thoughts of fighters like Fannie Lou Hamer make me get a move on.
I was in jail when Matthew Evers was murdered. All of this is on account of we want to register to become first-class citizens. And if the Freedom Democratic Party is not seated now, I question America. Is this America?
Fannie Lou Hamer spoke her truth at the 1964 Democratic National Convention. Hamer and the integrated Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party demanded equal seating to the all-white Mississippi Democratic delegation.
Because our lives be threatened daily. Because we want to live as decent human beings in America. Thank you.
This sister was mad, and she deserved to be. When Hamer tried to register to vote in 1962, she was forced from her job, from her home. She was beaten within an inch of her life just for the right to vote. Still today, this nation has to be reminded that Black lives matter everywhere, even in the voting booth.
No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace.
More than 50 years after Hamer began her fight for voting rights, a young Black woman in North Carolina is fighting to stay out of jail for registering to vote. When Lanisha Bratcher went to vote in Hope County 4 years ago during the 2016 election, it didn't cross her mind that she was doing anything wrong. She was just exercising her right.
I did not know that it was a crime to go and vote. I did not know I committed a crime voting. So it was a kind of a shock. And then here 4 years later, I'm being charged with it.
Now Lanisha is charged with felony voter fraud for registering to vote while still on probation. Most other cases like this one have been dismissed across the state, but not in Hoke County.
The whole process has just been, what? Why?
In 2013, Lanisha was charged with a felony after she says she defended her sister at a nightclub.
Me and my baby sister was assaulted at a club by a gentleman, and we got into an affray, and I hit him with my car. I kind of swiped him with my car. So the charges that were brought up against me was assault with a deadly weapon.
Lanisha took a plea agreement and served her sentence. She says she was never informed about her ineligibility to vote while on probation. She now lives in Fuquay Varina with her husband, Lamonte Jones. She goes by Lanisha Jones now. She has two daughters and is due with a third child, a boy, later this year. I traveled to Lanisha's home recently to speak with her about these charges and the whole grueling process. I was joined by my colleague and host of WUNC's politics podcast, Jeff Tiberi.
Yeah, we sat down with Lanisha and her husband on a rainy morning, masks on, sitting socially distant in different corners of their living room. And we asked them to walk us through what happened when the police showed up at their door last summer with a warrant.
I received a call from a family member that I was on the news. Shortly after eating breakfast, I had just came from the hospital. I had miscarried our first child. We come back home and the police arrive at my door with a warrant for my arrest. So from, and then they couldn't really explain to me the charge. They just said it was voter fraud. And I'm like, I never voted. I don't know when I voted. I couldn't, everything just was a blank to me. They came and they arrested me. Luckily, they let me put my shoes on. And it was about four or five cops, I think maybe about six, four cars. They had a house surrounded. There were people in our backyard. They came and they arrested me. My children were here at the time. And we went down to the Wake County Detention Center and they began to process me. And then they couldn't explain what the charge was there either. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to jail and I don't know why.
Lanisha is not the only person who's been charged with this crime in North Carolina. Following the election in 2016, the State Board of Elections did an audit. It found about 500 votes that were improperly cast in that last general election. 441 of those were individuals who voted while on felony parole, and the State Board referred these incidents to local prosecutors. The vast majority were dismissed, but not all of them. In Alamance County, reminder, that's just west of Orange County, 12 people were prosecuted. 9 of them were black. In Hoke County, there were 5 people, all black, indicted. And of that big number I mentioned, 441, nearly 70% were black. In Hoke County, it was Assistant District Attorney Mike Harden who was moving forward with the case against Lanisha. But Lanisha's attorney raised questions about the law itself. Was it even legal? So earlier this year, Harden dropped the initial charge, and he effectively re-upped the prosecution. And in June, filed 2 new felony charges against Lanisha using the same law, but different provisions.
This is not a new law in North Carolina. It's been on the books for more than a century. Origins of the law were born out of Jim Crow, and the law does not require knowledge or fraudulent intent, meaning that a person who believed they were voting legally could still be convicted. Now, this statute originated in the wake of the 1898 elections, famous for the defeat of the fusionist government by the Democrats' white supremacy campaign and that bloody coup and massacre in Wilmington following the election, where so many black people were killed. The criminal statute has remained the same all this time, as have the corresponding statutes that deem violence at the polls and voter intimidation to be only misdemeanors.
They used to just charge black people with just anything. They could be walking down the street and just get a charge, a felony at that.
Yeah, so you
they
can't
keep
vote.
Them from voting.
Yeah.
And then what they would do, they would take the polls or the actual voting polls out of the town so that they couldn't get to them. It was amazing. And I'm like, here I am in this loophole.
Over 100 years later, caught up.
I had a sentence to serve for 36 months, and no one had informed me of voting. I was never educated on it. We don't talk about it in school. It's not a thing, per se. So it was never discussed. So I never knew. My probation officers, the judge, the DA, no one ever told me about voting or if I even had the right to vote, or that my rights were stripped from me at that time.
One thing I wonder if you're going to get to vote this year in this year's presidential and gubernatorial races.
Absolutely. I am eligible to vote right now. I was a little iffy about it. I did receive a voter registration form. I took a picture of it. I read it thoroughly. I did sign it, and I did send it off.
Do you think that you're being picked on by the DA in Hoke County?
I do. Let me tell you why. we had court in August, and I was dealing with some COVID issues, me and my family, and we could not make it to court. So I contacted my lawyer, and he contacted the DA and let them know that we were dealing with COVID and that we couldn't come at the time because we were in quarantine. My lawyer spoke with me about the order for arrest that could have been issued or might have been issued, but it wouldn't have affected me because they already knew about the situation at hand because of the change of the charges. So last week, I get another visit from the police at my door, and it's a warrant for my arrest for missing court. So I actually got arrested yet in front of my kids again. I was removed from my home, and we went down to Wake County Detention Center, where I'm there all of maybe 30 or 40 minutes, and then they tell me there's been some type of mistake. We're going to shred your paperwork. They didn't give us notice. And I'm like, when was this initial notice put in? And she said sometime in June. Well, the court wasn't until August. So the issue was already set out for me, whether I came or not. So I really feel like they have been vindictive at this time because of all of what's going on. Me making statements about what has been going, how this has been attacking me and my family, how it's, you know, really depressing to even go through it. What my children are now having to go through, these questions that they're asking me, I can't answer, but only to give them, you know, the bottom half of it so that they can understand, hey, mom's not going anywhere right now, you know, but there is always a time where I think I will have to go somewhere dealing with them, you know. So that's, I'm sorry. It's been hard and frustrating.
I can only imagine. And you've got another one coming.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what you're trying to do to find peace, to find calm, to step back and kind of find that equilibrium so that you can get through each hour, each day.
Oh, prayer has been working. That's been my go-to, you know, to stay prayerful and just have enough faith that I will come through. You know, it's been, oh God, a lot.
We have a lot of support, you know, and I have to stop and give John, our attorney, he helps us sleep at night.
Yes.
You know, she wants to fight, and I want to help her fight, but then as her husband and as the head of the house, and her protector, I fractured a law or two in my life, and I know how the system is set up, you know what I mean? And I don't want her to get caught in the system again. You know, we walked out of the system, and that's behind us. You know, we're trying the best to keep all that behind us, and for the girls and for him not to have, you know, anything about that, you know what I mean? And so we're trying to clean up, you know what I mean? And get our life together and get the, you know, be effective in the community, and but we have a lot of support.
So you would say that I guess even the new charges and the continuation of this case has to do with the color of your skin?
Yes.
Lanisha's next court hearing is set for September 28th. If there's a trial in this case, it wouldn't be for several months. And the larger issue of felon reenfranchisement has been in the news recently. Some states give individuals the right back to vote once they're out of prison, but in North Carolina, that's obviously not the case. State judges did rule in a lawsuit earlier this month that people who have completed prison time, probation, or parole cannot be kept from registering to vote due to outstanding fines. North Carolina's Attorney General signaled that he will not appeal that ruling.
Lanisha says she is going to continue fighting the charges. She says she recently watched Ava DuVernay's documentary 13th about the history of mass incarceration and disenfranchisement against people of color. The film has inspired Lanisha to stay strong and keep fighting.
I don't want to take a plea. If I can get my peers to understand what I've been going through, if we were not dealing with COVID and me being pregnant, I would actually be out there marching and protesting and getting the word out, you know. One thing I wanted to do was to go to the voting polls in North Carolina, in my county or surrounding areas, and inform us Black voters, hey, listen, make sure that you're eligible, make sure that you can, you know, make sure that this is something that you know you can do. Don't get caught up, because you will fall, and they will get you.
Polk County Assistant District Attorney Mike Hardin did not return phone calls or emails requesting comment on Lanisha's case. As we move toward Election Day in North Carolina, there are only going to be more stories like this, conversations that are critical to understanding how politics play out in our state. So for the next few weeks, we're treating you to a bonus day of Test It, with some help from a guy you just heard from who knows quite a lot about politics, WUNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff Tiberi. Catch him in this podcast feed every Wednesday until the day after election. Lanisha's case has captured national attention. Up next, a member of Congress joins me to talk about voting rights.
And so to see people suffering like that, of all the things that we should be putting our law enforcement to, is for a woman who mistakenly voted because of a broken law, an unjust law. Imagine paying your debt to society and being told that you can't vote.
Senator Cory Booker in a moment.
There are things we're taught not to discuss in polite company. But by avoiding so-called impolite conversations, we're missing out on the chance to make important connections with each other. I'm Anita Rao, and I'm on a personal journey to uncover just what happens when we open ourselves up to talking about taboo topics that affect our bodies and our brains. Find out on Embodied, a new podcast about sex, relationships, and your health from WUNC.
Democratic U.S. Senator Cory Booker is a New Jersey guy through and through, but his ties to the South are true, and they run deep. Booker fondly remembers stories of his father growing up in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and attending North Carolina Central University.
He did. He came down from the mountains, came down from Hendersonville to go to North Carolina Central. I just owe a lot to them. We have a scholarship with my dad's name that I contribute to from time to time, and just feel blessed by the community there.
Booker says his father's stories helped him do the impossible when he started running for elected office in Newark in the late 1990s. For years, he did whatever it took to draw attention to the plight of the crumbling city. That included staging a hunger strike and living with tenants in one of the worst housing developments in the city. Booker's fight was chronicled in the Oscar-nominated documentary Street Fight.
After I got elected, I moved into Brick Towers because I wanted to stay close to the community that elected me. And every morning when I woke up and when I came home at night, I wanted to be reminded of the reasons why I got into office in the first place.
Booker, a former councilman and mayor of Newark, said he was ready to be uncomfortable, to do what many dismissed as impossible. He had to convince a majority Black, low-income community to vote for him, and more importantly, to vote for themselves. Booker says that's his message in 2020.
I am this very hopeful, because I always say that this election is not a referendum on one guy in one office. It's a referendum on who we are as a people and who we're going to be to each other. And I want us to be a more beloved community, as my former colleague, now Angel, John Lewis, said so eloquently, that we have to make our policies reflect the love that was within our hearts. And that means investing in education and healthcare and paid family leave and a affordable childcare and affordable college education. These things are the markers, not just of an economically prosperous nation, but a beloved nation.
They say North Carolina, you know, is a swing state. So what will it take for a candidate, I guess, to win in a closely divided state like North Carolina? I know they say it's like this in Michigan and Ohio and some other states, but specifically down here, as they say, in the Dirty South, you know, which has definitely changed over the decades.
Well, to me, it's very simple. A lot of people want to engage in yelling matches or arguments. You know, I just walk on by. What you really need to get to is the people that are bystanders, onlookers, that think our democracy is a spectator sport, but it's not. We have so many North Carolinians, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that we need to inspire to come out and vote. Look, Black women are the number one voters of any demographic, and they get up to 60-70%, and that's the best. Well, when I was going to school, 70% on a test, I'd be embarrassed to bring it home to my mama and daddy. We've got to get our voter participation rates up. And we know in North Carolina, I tell you, that North Carolina federal judge that threw out voting suppression law saying it was designed with surgical-like precision to disenfranchise African Americans. We know that they're trying to stop Black North Carolinians from voting. Why? Because your vote matters so, so much. And so don't be complicit in your own demise. Don't play party to those who are trying to stop you from voting. You need to be defiant. You need to be determined. So my big thing is, don't worry about the people that have already made up their mind. Worry about the people that don't normally come out and vote.
I asked Senator Booker more about voting rights here in North Carolina, from discriminatory voter ID laws to gerrymandered districts, and what can be done to strengthen people's right to vote. I brought up Lanisha Jones's case and all that she and her family have gone through since Lanisha was charged with felony voter fraud.
That's tragic. I had heard about that case. Look, this is the crossroad we're at. You know that there is a John Lewis Voting Rights Act that we're trying to fight for on the federal level. We went back to the Senate. I think we have a good chance of getting that to Joe Biden's desk, should he be president, that ends this nightmare, that addresses a lot of these things like felony disenfranchisement, ends a lot of these things like the ways that states are looking to limit the vote for federal elections, making automatic voter registration, vote by mail, doing a lot of the things that we should be doing to make it easier to vote. And so to see people suffering like that, of all the things that we should be putting our law enforcement to, is for a woman who mistakenly voted because of a broken law, an unjust law. Imagine paying your debt to society and being told that you can't vote. That stories like that make me more determined. And I want you to know that there are lawyers all over this country, from Stacey Abrams and her team at Fair Fight, all the way to the NAACP, taking cases all over this country to try to make it easier for us to vote on Election Day in November or in our mail-in ballots when they come. And so I'm just asking everybody, Michelle Obama said this in her speech during the convention. She goes, we've got to anticipate people trying to put obstacles before us. There might be long lines at the polling place. She said, be prepared for those long lines. She knows folk. She said, no, pack one meal, pack two meals. You never know. Bring some for the people online in front of you or behind you. That's what we got to do, because I know the stories from my father, and his generation and what they had to go through to try to fight for the right to vote. And if they are willing to do those things, remember John Lewis and those other marchers were beaten on the Edmund Pettus Bridge for voting rights. Remember that Goodman, Cheney, and Schwerner died registering people to vote. We know what our ancestors were willing to do for their franchise. We have got to be willing to fight the fight as well. At the end of The Fire Next Time, one of my favorite books, James Baldwin said this. He goes, I know what I'm asking you is impossible, but in today's day and age, the impossible is the least we can demand. For one is, after all, emboldened by the spectacle of human history, and American Negro history in particular, because it's nothing less than a testimony to the perpetual achievement of the impossible. Our history is a perpetual testimony to the achievement of the impossible. And so he says, we must assume everything is in our hands. We have no right to assume otherwise. And so that's what I'm asking, is it is in your hands. It is in your power. And there are going to be obstacles. It will be difficult. Frederick Douglass told us that there's no struggle, there is no progress. Well, it's time for a struggle. Get out there and vote.
Cory Booker is the junior U.S. Senator from New Jersey and the state's first African-American senator. He ran for president, but dropped out of the race earlier this year. That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Leonita Inge. Charlie Shelton Ormond is our producer. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer. Thanks for listening.